ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कथ्योतव्य मुक्ति च प्राक् दारव एकत्र निर्मिते विभ्राजितं जनपदं यथीतव्यं धूमत्सकः। The two gates named Katyodha and Avirmukhi were situated facing the eastern side, but they were constructed in one place. Those two gates, the king used to go to the city of Vibhrajita, accompanied by a friend whose name was Duman. Purport: the two names Katyodha and Avirmukhi means glowworm and torchlight. These indicates that the two eyes, the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. The king, or the living entity, uses these two gates to see things properly, but he cannot see unless accompanied by a friend whose name is Duman. This friend is a son. Although the two eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibhrajitam janapadam, if one wants to see something very clearly, vibhrajitam, he must see with his two eyes and the assistance of his friend, the sunlight. Within the body, everyone is a king because he uses different gates according to his own will. Although he is very much proud of his power to see or hear, he is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of nature. Amagyan timidandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshul umilitam yinat tasmai sri gurave namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Sva Parampitikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So there was a song in the 60s. It was stated, what is the ugliest part of your body? And the answer was, some think it is your nose, some think it is your toes, but actually it is your mind. It was spoken by Frank Zappa. Those who are from the 60s remember Frank Zappa and the mothers of invention. So with our mind, to perceive truth is not possible, not even by our human intelligence. We can understand truth. Truth is coming from Tene Brahma Rida. It comes from Krishna directly to Brahma. Yadikavai. Who is the first teacher? Brahma. By that way, we can ascertain truth. Even nowadays, by Shastra Chakshu, by seeing things through the eyes of scriptures. And not through through our mind or so-called intelligence. Intelligence, say for example, I get hit by somebody. Somebody hits me. So through the senses I can understand the pain. That's one truth, the pain of the event. It hurts. Through my mind I can understand, I feel, why is he doing this to me? I'm a nice boy, nobody loves me. Why is he doing this to me? So I have the feeling in the mind about it. I feel bad about it, hurt, unjustly treated. Then through the intelligence I can understand it was this bhakta who did it. That as much we can understand. All this is true. These are three truths. But there's another truth behind it that I needed to be beaten. Because in my previous lives, I must have done just the same to somebody else. Or something similar. That's why Prabhupada said we should not be upset with the instruments of our karma. He's just the instrument of my karma. So how do we understand this unless we go through scriptures? Not possible. Like modern people, the modernists try to adjust religion to the taste of the time. And this has been done since the time of Jesus. This is how Christianity came about. Christianity was invented by Paul. What did I say? Something wrong? Christianity is invented by Paul. Jesus was not a Christian, for sure. So the idea to project one's own ideas on scripture, on truth, this is foolish. is foolish. We never come to the right conclusion. Even great sages, there's this verse in Mahabharata, even great sages are bewildered. They're arguing with each other. And nobody can understand why Krishna is doing something. Bhishma himself said that. You know, nobody can understand the plan of the Lord. Nobody. Therefore, we have to learn something that we are foolish. The best thing to learn in Hindi is me bahut gidha hoon. I'm a big donkey. I'm a big ass. This is self-realization. I accepted a material body. That's foolishness. I should have stayed in the material world. The connection, the most subtle connection between the material world and the spiritual world is ahankara. Actually, ahankara. That's where the whole trip starts. From Adam and Eve on, of course, these are allegorical personalities. We shouldn't take them as historical personalities. They are depicting our situation. We eat from the forbidden tree based on ahankara. Ahankara vimudhatma. Bahut gadha. Gadha. Bahut gadha. A huge ass. The Rolls Royce edition of an ass is a human being. The ass is just just an ass. But the human being is a Rolls Royce edition. And the greatest ass is he who thinks, well, I know. We don't. Knowledge has to come from Krishna. We cannot even understand what happens to us when somebody kicks us. Actually, in truth, we cannot understand in truth. Only Krishna, he says, many births have passed to Arjuna. I can remember them all, you cannot. So because Krishna can remember, therefore, the truth is that something happened in my past and Krishna knows and Krishna never makes a mistake so that we can drink our cup. Everybody has to drink his cup. So, Prakriti Kriya Mani Nigunai Kamani Sava Shahar is a verse that everything is going on under the control of nature. There's this verse. Prakriti Kriya Mani Nigunai Kamani Sava Shahar. Ahankara vimudhatma katam iti manyate. The fool thinks I'm doing ahankara. That's foolish. Ahankara. And here also it is stated, it's interesting, that without the friend, namely Dhyuman, the sunlight, I cannot see. In Uddhava Gita, there's one verse where these three truths are explained. There's the Adhyatma, that is the living entity in the body, the soul. And then there's Adhidevika, these are the demigods which are actually controlling the senses. The like, without fire, without Agni, I cannot, or the sun god actually, I cannot see. Without Agni, I cannot digest. Without the moon, I cannot even think properly. These are the demigods, the presiding demigods of our kamendriyas, means the working senses, and the gyanendriyas, the five pancha gyanendriyas, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, like eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and touch. We cannot see without the demigods. We cannot, it's impossible. The eye is just a lens. It's just a lens. A lens cannot do anything without electricity, if you have a camera, you know. So the presiding demigods, they are called the Adhidevika. And that what you see on the eye bulb, it is stated in one verse in Bhagavatam. And there's an interesting commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti about it that I don't want to go into it right now. It would be too complicated. But I will give you a demonstration. The Adhidevika is... the Adhibodhika is the person that you see on the eyeball. When you look at somebody, that's the Adhibodhika. Or when you look into the mirror, what you see? The Adhibodhika. You see the body. That's the Adhibodhika. And so all these three things have to work together. The soul is basically speaking, just desiring. And just like in the example Srila Prabhupada gives, the soul is not the driver, the soul is just a passenger. And the passenger wants to go to Loy Bazaar. The driver is the rickshaw wala. You tell the rickshaw wala, the soul, sitting on the rickshaw, my dear rickshaw wala, bring me to Loy Bazaar. How much? Kidna. 50 rupees. Rask. Murk. 25 is enough. No, 30. Okay. You sit inside. And he's doing the work. He's a driver. And you're not the rickshaw either. You're not the rickshaw. You're the person who sits in the rickshaw. So you propose to the rickshaw driver where you want to go. And he does the work. Because you don't even know how to get to, say, Bamsivat. You don't know. He knows. He's intelligent. You tell him. And in this way you get there. So in the same way, since I'm not the body, the body is Adi Bhautika, what is in my connect? How do I move my hand? What is my connection actually to this body? What is it? What is it? Anybody knows? Consciousness. I'm conscious of the body. That's the only connection, practically speaking. As a soul, as a sun, the sun is penetrating the whole universe with sunshine, the soul in the same way is penetrating the body with consciousness. That's it. So if I feel an itch, for example, it is me, the soul, feeling, be conscious of my leg, feels an itch. Now how do I get my hand there to scratch? My desire is to scratch, to relieve my, because it feels uncomfortable. I'm conscious of the body. It requires some steps, because I'm not the body, I'm not the car, I'm not the driver of the car. We have to appeal to the driver. So Krishna, there's this famous verse, man proposes, God disposes. God is arranging. He is the super cause in that sense. That strips of the following action. He's the super cause of the following action. I'm also karta in that sense that I'm desiring. That's my function as karta, but I'm not doing. I'm desiring. Man proposes, God disposes. The karta, the action is happening like this. Krishna understands, nitya nityananam chetana chetananam ikabaho yovididhati kaman. Preetam. Yovididhati kaman. So the man proposes, the soul under Krishna understands your desires, and he fulfills your desires of all living beings. So he sits in the heart as super soul. He understands what I want sitting in his body. I want to scratch my... And he calls the demigods. Hello, this is Krishna. Can you please, whoever is in charge for the leg, for the karmendriya leg, whoever that may be, can you please, or the hand, the para, no, this is not pan, pani, pan, padi, what is it? Arm. Huh? Pani is milk, is water. What? Okay. Can you move the hand up there? The guy wants to scratch himself. And then the demigod immediately, chuk, 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 chuk. He does it. It's a robot. The body is just a robot. Like Krishna says that people sit, what is this verse? Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridesi arjuna tishtate. Lord is sit in the heart of all. Brahmayan sarvabhutani. He moves everybody. Brahmayan yantra rurhani mayaya. It is a machine made by maya. A yantra. He is moving. The yantra. He is moving everybody. Not a blade of grass moves without God's sanction. You cannot scratch yourself. You cannot see anything. You cannot touch anything. You cannot drink anything, you cannot do anything without Krishna, and nobody else can. We are completely depending on Krishna. He's a super cause. So we got to understand these things very carefully, that the self-realized soul, he can see all this. That the senses are busy with their objects. There's one verse in Bhagavad Gita which describes this. Then naiva kinchit karomi ti yukto manyeta tattvavit pasyan shrinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gatsan svapan svasan pralapan visijan ginan unminisam ninimisan mapi indriyan indiyateshu vatanta iti dharayan. A person in divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping, breathing, always knows within himself that he does actually nothing at all. He doesn't do anything. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he's aloof from them. That means he understands he's a puppet on a string. He understands he's a puppet on a string. Like Prabhupada said to him, Lord, I'm like a puppet on your string. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance. He's a puppet on the string. So if somebody thinks that he is the doer, if he's actually acting, if things are under his control, he is an ass. And people are asses. Krishna uses the verse ass many times in Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Utkramantam idam, what is it? Utkramantam idam stapi. This verse, the foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits the body, how it takes another body. One whose eyes are, one who's in knowledge, vimura nanu pasyati, pasyanti jnana chakshusha. The fools cannot see. One who's in knowledge, he can see. Jnana chakshusha, because he is seen through the eyes of scripture, therefore he can see. At least in the conditioned stage. He sees through the eyes of scripture. That's how he perceives reality. So if we adjust, for example, the idea that we try to understand the material world through our own senses and adjust Krishna consciousness to that, then we end up with mundane religion. We end up with, this is called mundane religion. Mundane religion is a concoction. It is simply theoretical. There's one verse by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, not by Lord Chaitanya, by Krishna's Kaviraj, that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a little child can cross the ocean of theories about the Absolute Truth. These are just theories, doctrines about the Absolute Truth. There's so many doctrines. People, what are people fighting about? They're not fighting about God. They're fighting about doctrines. Perceptions about God. My perception, your perception. Everybody has a different perception of God. Somebody has a blue spectacle, he sees the ceiling as blue. Somebody has red spectacle, he sees it as red. Somebody has green, he sees it as green. Somebody yellow, he sees it as yellow. The ceiling is white. So there are so many perceptions of God. They are due to false ego. That I can see, but you cannot. You cannot see. You have to see through eyes of Shastra, and in due course of time you can understand from deeply within reality. Not otherwise. And if you do so, if you try to marry Krishna consciousness with the spirit of the day, you try to change because people don't like, you know, for example, the roles of men, the roles of women. So we try to adjust this to modern society. Then there's a statement that the religion that marries the spirit of the day will be a widow tomorrow. It will be a widow tomorrow. Religion is like female. If it marries the spirit of the day, it will be the widow tomorrow, because the spirit of today will die. It will be gone in 5 years, in 10 years, and as another idea comes up. So it will be a widow tomorrow. And one can only say why it is that the Roman Catholic Church is going on since 2,000 years, because they have been extremely careful at adjusting to modern, the modern world. When they make a decision in the Vatican, I know from a friend that I had who was a Jesuit, he said they take themselves 100 years if it's a decision that's questionable. They say, we cannot decide this now, let the Holy Spirit come over us, we talk about it in 2000 and 2100. We're not going to make a decision right now. And this way they have been able to create some continuity. They're very conservative. So we can understand only through scriptures that actually our seeing power is depending on a deva. That our hearing power, again, is depending on the deva. That the vata in the body, vata, pitta, and kapha, the vata is depending on who? On air. The demigod of air is vayu. That's why vata. It's controlling vata. And pitta, fire, again, agni. And in this way, the gross body, the subtle body, everything is under control. And if you want to scratch your user soul, because you're conscious of your head, wants to scratch yourself because there's an itch in the head, Krishna has to call a demigod who is in charge for moving the head. And because it goes like chuk, 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 my desires are instantly within the speed of light, translated into action. Therefore, I think I'm the doer. Now, if you would like to say, for example, I give you an example. If I would like to scratch my head, and it will take 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, chuk, 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 I would get an idea that I'm sitting in a machine. Very easy. Because it is instant, therefore I cannot understand. It seems to be that I'm doing, but there is something in between. And so, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, this is explained, like, prakrityai vaicha karmani kriyamanani sarvashaha yapashyati tatatmanam akataram it sapashyati. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, by the demigods who control the body, and sees that the self does nothing at all, nothing. Everything katam. Everything is done by nature, by the demigods. They just translate my desire into action. That's why I'm not the doer. You know, I'm called the doer because I'm initializing this chain reaction. I'm at the root of the chain reaction, but I'm not actually carrying it out. You know, and there's another verse which describes this also in Bhagavad Gita, and that is, kaya kayana katritve hetu pakritir uchyati purusha sukha dukanam bhaktritve hetur uchyati. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. It's nature, meaning the devas. It's an adidevika aspect. They actually control nature. Whereas the living entity is a cause of various suffering and enjoyment because I'm wanting it. And therefore I'm getting it. And if you want something which is Krishna conscious, you're getting this. Seek and you will find, it says even in the Bible. And if you want something illicit, you're getting this as well. But you have to pay the price. If you smoke, you know, then there will be a price. You cannot see it now. But in due course of time, you end up with throat cancer. Even our George Harrison, ultimately, he died of throat cancer. And it was very clear because he was a wonderful devotee, but there was one thing, and that was smoking, that ultimately killed him. I saw one time an interview in a German hospital where they interviewed people who had, it was an anti-cigarette, an anti-tobacco campaign, and they interviewed people. And there was a guy, his cancer was so big, and he could hardly speak. And then they cut it out. I hope he sold it to a Chinese restaurant. So he could hardly speak. And he said in a hardly audible voice that I used to smoke Camel. And now I understand that I'm on the package of the Camel. In Germany, if somebody calls foolish, in India you say ass, in Germany you say camel, stupid. I'm that camel. Because I've ruined my health. So people, you get what you want from Krishna, sure you did, you do. Within your karma. It's just like if you have a small car, the body is a car. If you have a small car, you can go 80 miles an hour. If you buy a Tata Nano, 35 miles an hour. If you have a Mercedes, 200, no problem. So within your karma, you can tell the driver to drive 200 miles an hour or 35. If you tell the driver in a Nano, Nenu, you want to go 150? He said, Bahut pagale, Baba. This is not possible. It's not possible. You can only go within your karma, you can fulfill your desires. There are some limits there, some ceiling that you can enjoy. So everybody has a ceiling. I mean, if you bring a dog in here, there's no way that he can understand Bhagavad Gita. You never see any dog sitting in class, because they have a ceiling. They cannot understand this. They can understand, you know, through. They have a huge nose, because they understand most stuff through their nose, actually. You know, and they can smell, you know, amazingly. And they can also hear very well. This is how they understand reality, but they cannot. They have no brains to understand. So it is very important that we understand that whatever we do cannot be accomplished unless we depend on Krishna. He is a super cause. He is a super soul. Like there is this verse, five factors that constitute action. And there's a performer, that is me, and the various senses, the endeavor, and ultimately the super, the place of action, the body, the performer, that's the soul, the various senses, this is that we see, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul, are the five actions. Only one factor in these is actually the soul. Only one. We are not the only doer. We want, man proposes, we desire that something to happen, and according to our desire, it is then carried out within the ceiling, within the limits of the frame, the envelope. I think that's a good word. Within the envelope of our karma. Everybody has a different envelope. And that envelope is given to us at the time of birth. We get an envelope. And within this envelope we can move. And if you have an envelope of a cow, you have to move like a cow. Like I want, if you have an envelope of a buffalo, you will. I saw one time, I took bath at the Ganga in Mayapur. A whole coward boy came and he had mixed herd. Some were cows and some were buffaloes. And every single buffalo went immediately into the Ganga. And every single cow stood outside and drank water of the Ganga. Because they're conditioned. They have an envelope. They cannot. You cannot expect a cow to sing La Traviata, an Italian opera. Not possible. You have to have a human body to sing that. And a particular human body. So we are getting this envelope, this initial adhikar, you know, the initial condition, and with this condition, within the condition, we can understand something via our intelligence, via our mind, and via our senses. Something, some reality we can understand, but it's by no means the whole thing. The whole thing, I mean, how can we figure out that actually without the demigods I cannot even see? I cannot digest. The whole motoric system of the body goes on totally automatically. I have no influence on it. Unless I practice pranayama, for example. Or when I run, the heart beats faster. But I mean, who is organizing all this? These are all organized by the functions of the body, are all organized by the demigods. And therefore we should be satisfied in whatever condition we are, because these conditions are created by Krishna himself. Therefore we have to love what is. That what is. Somebody has a great body, somebody doesn't have a great body, somebody is beautiful, somebody is ugly, and somebody is fat. Another one is stupid. Well, this is due to karma. Kamana Devina, Kamana Deva, what is it? Kamana Deva Netrina. Who says this? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamana Deva Netrina. According to his karma, he is getting a particular kind of body, and therefore we should not complain or moan that we are sitting in a particular kind of body. We should just accept the truth and act accordingly. If I'm in the body of a man, I have a particular dharma. If I'm in the body of a woman, I have another dharma. Even if I'm transcendental, I will still fulfill a particular kind of dharma. Krishna, he would bow down in front of Yudhishthira. He was the supreme personality of Godhead, and still he kept himself as in the system. He said that if I wouldn't act like this, the whole world would be misled. Whatever Greatman does, this moment follows. You think, oh, we are all transcendental now. Nobody's transcendental here, as far as I'm concerned, so easily. Somebody told me the other day that, Prabhu, I'm transcendental. I said, Prabhu, your head is full of, I don't want to repeat the word, that it doesn't work like this. And even if one is transcendental, look at Queen Kunti. Even she would play a particular kind of role in society. It's absolutely necessary that everybody has to play his role. And it is dangerous to follow the path of somebody else. Dangerous. It's dangerous. I mean, here's an example. Kurma Brahmana, he met Lord Chaitanya, and then he decided to follow the path of somebody else. He said, oh Lord Chaitanya, let me go with you. And he said, no, you stay right here, you have a wife and children. And then he told him, that doesn't mean that you should just be a householder. You know, it means that Yaradekata Ka Krishna Upadesh, and whoever you meet, you preach to. It was in your frame, your envelope, your householder. You know? That's why we don't have female sannyasis. Because a woman is supposed to be, according to the Vedic prescription, under the son or husband or under the father. We have male sannyasis that travel all over the world. That's prescribed for men. Women cannot take sannyas. Not possible. So everybody has his prescribed duty. This is stated again and again in Vedic scriptures. Prescribed duty. And we have to follow this duty. And understand from Veda what is truth and what is sat, what is truth and what is asat. Everything outside of Veda is asat. Asat. Just like you can practically say mundane religion is asat. It's not sat. And when Prabhupada was preaching to one German professor, Professor Porsche, I happened to be the translator. And it was a kind of really sticky situation because the man, Prabhupada asked him, what is your philosophy? And the man said, went on and on, you know, got on his soapbox and was speaking and speaking, and then Prabhupada shook his head, and the guy thought Prabhupada didn't agree. And it's just and then he asked this man, the man asked him, Swamiji, what do you think? And Prabhupada told him that 2,000 years have passed. That was his answer. 2,000 years have passed, and still you have not understood Jesus. This was a top theologian in Germany. He didn't understand Jesus after 2,000 years, Prabhupada explained. And the man said, why, Swamiji, you say that? Prabhupada said, because if you understand Jesus, you understand Krishna, and if you understand Krishna, you understand Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you say you must love also Krishna, because he's a father, Ambija Pradabita. Jesus said, our father who's in heaven. He's a father. And if you love Krishna, you must also love Jesus. And then he said, I was shocked. He said, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, mind you, I had to translate all this, declares herewith to you that Jesus is practically speaking as guru. He said, but for the Christians, he has only sharp words. And then Prabhupada talked. He said, because you don't follow, you have your own ideas. You have your own ideas of Jesus that has nothing to do with a historical person. That lived. You follow some concept about Jesus, some concept about Muhammad, some concept about, like so many people, even our own line, the followers of Advaita Acharya concocted their own ways and became thus Asara, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is it true? And then Prabhupada talks about his God brothers, and he talks about this issue that immediately, as soon as one concocts his own idea, his own opinion, he becomes asara, useless to the spiritual master. He loses his spiritual life. So life and soul of a devotee is truth. And truth he can understand through guru, shastra and sangha, through these three things. He can understand things as they are. Mataji, can you please turn your phone off? You're supposed to do this before you enter the temple. I hate that Nokia sound, wherever I go in the world. even in the temple. Beep, 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 beep. So this is a point here. That in this way, this verse seems to be a verse. I looked in the morning at this verse and said, my God, what are you doing with me? And you give me this verse. And then I thought about it a little bit. You can expand on it. You know, you can, a wonderful verse that, you know, you have two eyes and still you cannot see without Dhyuman, the friend, the deva, who is actually the presiding deity of the how of the eye. This way you can see, this way you can hear, this way you can smell, this way you can, everything is going on under Krishna's control. Everything. And if somebody hurts you, you should understand it is not between you and them, between you and the GB seat, for example. It's between you and Krishna in the final analysis. And if you suffer some disease, it is not between anybody else, but between you and Krishna. And if you get rich, it is between you and Krishna. Whatever we experience, in fact, at every moment, this is how we can become Krishna conscious, by meditating like this, that this present situation has been created because of Krishna. And I couldn't speak, certainly, Bhagavatam, unless Krishna would inspire from within. He can turn me into a mumbling fool from one moment to another, that I sit here and go, and I have to be carried out. I just lost it. From one second to another. He can just take everything away. I give an example. When Prabhupada called one time, I was in Germany, and Prabhupada was about to come. And he called, Shamashunda called, and said Prabhupada, he was working at that time at his discussions on Western philosophers. And Western philosophy in this century is more than by anybody geprägt, what is a German word, influenced by Professor Heidegger, a German thinker who wrote a famous book, Sein and Zeit, Being and Time. And Prabhupada wanted to meet Heidegger. So I went in my dhoti out there, traveled 600 kilometers to South Germany, to Freiburg, and I came to the door and the woman said, my God, how do you look? I said, Mother, don't be afraid. He said, I'm just a monk, and my guru, my spiritual master, has to send me. He wants to talk to your husband, Professor Heidegger. She said, young man, it is too late. I said, why? Is he gone? He said, no, he's upstairs. I said, so then I can speak him. He said, well, he cannot understand anything. He's gone. I said, well, then he cannot complain. I can see him. She said, yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. And so I went, and there he was, you know, the greatest thinker of the century, at least up to the last 10, 20 years. What Einstein is in physics is Heidegger in philosophy. Everybody who studies philosophy studies Heidegger, you know. He was lying in his bed and he was totally, there was nothing going on anymore. He was finished. His body was moving, he was breathing, but Krishna took it all away. And then something wonderful happened. And his wife was shocked. I took the Bhagavad Gita and I said, Professor Heidegger, and I put the Bhagavad, I was holding the Bhagavad Gita on his breast. And he grabbed it. You know, I think I was holding it like this. He grabbed it. And he opened his mouth, his eyes, and looked. His wife was shocked. Then he said, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, I know this book. I know this book. I know this book. And he pressed the Bhagavad Gita to his heart, and he fell back into amnesia. He fell back into unconsciousness. His wife was shocked. She said, I have not seen him since 6 months like that. You see what Krishna can do. Krishna can woke him up for a moment. And he must have had some Sukriti. Otherwise, how is it possible that somebody comes 600 kilometers to give him Bhagavad Gita to hold it to his heart? And a couple of days later, he left his body. How fortunate. How Krishna is arranging everything. How Krishna can wake up somebody. How Krishna can put somebody to rest at every moment. You know, at every moment you can... When I left school, college, everybody had to say something. And I said, well, thank you very much. Parents were there, teachers were there, everybody was assembled. We were all in suit and tie, and I said, well, you know, glad I'm out of here. And the guy who was living on the same room with me, he was a pain in the neck because he was the guy in the front of the first class in the first seat, in the first row, who always knew the answers and always trying to. And so he was practicing his speech in front of a mirror. Ladies and gentlemen, today the great day comes. And I was so fed up with him, seeing that he tried to train his television facial expressions. And so then the great day came, and everybody said his bit, and most people said, well, thank you, Hare Krishna, I'm going. And so he said, ladies and gentlemen, today is the day that... And he walked back and he said, ladies and gentlemen, today is a day that... And he lost it. Krishna took it away. Then he made another effort. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a day that... And he didn't. And then he walked back and he fell from the podium and we all clapped, you know. And then he sat beside me and said, hey, I didn't know that you have such a great sense of humor. I was really nasty, you know, rubbing it in, you know. You have a great sense of humor. And he was so insulted, you know. So you can see Krishna can take everything away in 1 second. The speaker can only speak. The inspiration to speak is coming from Krishna. That's the Spirit of God is resting on the speaker. No doubt about it. Otherwise he cannot speak. You know? And particularly if the class is inspired, the inspiration comes from Krishna. The Mozart, he was asked, Mozart, one of the greatest composers, he wrote a work, something like 10 pages, and there's not one correction in it. Normally, if you write something, you correct this, you have an editor. There's not every note is perfect. And they ask him, how do you do that? And he said, yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm just a secretary. I hear the music in my head and I just write it down. I just hear the music in my head. And where is it coming from? From the super soul. Said, I just hear the music. I'm just a secretary. And so therefore, he's the only composer I know that has no corrections in his work from the beginning to the end. He just heard it from Krishna and just wrote it down. You cannot even sleep without Krishna. Not possible. We cannot sleep. Krishna takes all the sense objects away like this, you know. And you lie there in bed. Nothing to think about. And then he takes the soul literally, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, he literally takes the soul to the heart. And so we are resting in the jyoti of the super soul. That's why we feel good if we rested. And then when Krishna wants us to get up, he produces some things to think about, or some noises, or somebody enthuses somebody to move a table, or somebody says quiet or something, and then he wakes up. So we cannot sleep without Krishna, we cannot eat without Krishna, we cannot see without Krishna, we cannot touch, we cannot even scratch ourselves, we cannot go to the bathroom without Krishna, we cannot do anything without Krishna. Everything is going on by Krishna's grace. And therefore we should love what is our situation, because that situation, whether we are sick or not sick, whether we are happy or distressed, whether we are suffering or not suffering, that is a reality. Krishna can be appreciated only in the presence. Past, that's gone. Future, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, forget about the past that dreams. Near the future, dream at all. Don't think of the future, because you can't understand what's happening tomorrow. I may be dead. But act in time, now. Because the direct connection to Krishna is in the presence. And the presence is always changing at every moment. And the changer, the person who actually changes everything at every moment, that is Krishna. And we find ourselves in a particular kind of reality for me and for you that is entirely created by Krishna. And you are sitting in Vrindavan, that is created by Krishna. Very fortunate that we can sit here in front of these wonderful deities, Krishna Balaram, Sisi Gonitai, Radhesham, in Vrindavan. Extremely fortunate we are. Extremely. There are very few people. We're so fortunate. This is created by Krishna. We are not aware of it. I was walking one time behind Srila Prabhupada and I was so spaced out, I stepped on his heel. It was right next to this ashram that I used to still stay on that road. And Prabhupada turned around and he took his cane like this. Come closer. And he took his cane and he pushed it. He said, "So?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "Are you not satisfied?" And I thought, my God, satisfied that I stepped on his heel. But it was something else before the day before he made a decision that I really liked, that I appealed for. And then he said, "When you're leaving," I said, "Srila Prabhupada, now that everything is decided, I go tomorrow." He said, "Oh, no." He said, and he said, "Just you have to stay at least 3 weeks." And then he opened his eyes very wide. He said, "Just enjoy the spiritual atmosphere." That was completely created by Krishna, that situation, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We stayed then here another 3 weeks. So every situation is created by Krishna. And one who sees me everywhere, Yomam Pashyati Savatra Sava Sava Chamai Pashyati Tasyana Pranashyami Satramina Pranashyati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Bahunam Janmanananamanti, after many, many births, Jnanavamam Prapadyati. One whose wise surrenders unto me. Why? Vasudeva Samamiti. He sees that Krishna is everything. Samahama Sudulabha. Such a great soul is very rare. So Krishna consciousness means to see Krishna at every moment. Whatever is going on at every moment, there's nothing else happening but Krishna. You go in the forest, what do you hear? Krishna. He's the ultimate cause. The immediate cause are the birds you hear. Then the demigods are the intermediate causes. And then there's the ultimate cause. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate mover, the ultimate controller, the controller of our senses, Rishikesh. He's the controller of our senses. He's controlling the senses via the demigod. He's everything. He's in the heart of all creatures. Savasetraham riti sanivishtu. Matasmiti agyanam aponam cha. For me alone comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Not from anybody else. So this forgetfulness of this person that couldn't remember his speech, that was caused by Krishna. That somebody can remember, that somebody can talk, somebody can sleep, somebody can eat. This is done by Krishna. And if you see Krishna everywhere, and that everything is done by Krishna, and that he is the super cause of everything, that he is the ultimate mover, then we are Krishna conscious. And then we are not bewildered. And if there is something we don't know, then we have to ask Krishna, or we have to ask scripture, or we have to ask Guru Shastra Sangha, a God brother. Even Srila Prabhupada sometimes didn't know what to do. There was an example that I heard from Tamal Krishna Goswami, called TKG in short. I heard from TKG that Prabhupada one time was sitting with all the big men in his office and there was some situation coming up. And so Prabhupada said, "So what shall we do?" Tamal Krishna Goswami, "What is your idea?" And he said, "I think we should do this." Prabhupada said, "No, not a good idea." Then he asked the next person, "Not a good idea." Then he asked the next person. He asked everybody in the room, and Prabhupada always said, "Not a good idea. No, we don't do that." Then the devotee said, "But Srila Prabhupada, why don't you tell us what to do?" Then Prabhupada laughed. He said, "I don't know either." He said, "I don't know either." He said, "So let's wait what Krishna says. Let's change the subject." And they talked about something else. And then after half an hour, all of a sudden Prabhupada said, "Now I know what Krishna wants." And he gave the perfect solution. And he said, the devotees asked him, "How did you know Srila Prabhupada?" He said, "Well, Krishna told me." So even the pure devotee, he waits for Krishna sometimes. If it's not sure, he certainly doesn't act. Foolish people, they're not sure about a situation, but they make a decision. This is foolishness. If you're not clear, don't make a decision. If you're confused in life, what to do? That means you try to make a decision when things are not clear. It's very simple. You become confused. If you're in the forest at night, you don't see anything and you make a decision, "I go here," you'll be in trouble. You end up in the water. So we have to wait for the sun to rise and then we can see here's the water and here's the path. So we have to ask sometimes Krishna what to do. And if it's not certain, We should not make uncertainty a principle of our acting. That is very, very un-Krishna consciousness and very as stupid, very foolish. I thank you so much that you have tolerated my tirades. I'm glad to be here and I'm happy to see you all. We have something wonderful that we should never let go, that nobody else has in the material world. Not only do we have Radhasham, Krishna Balaram, we also have Govardhan, and we have Radha Kund, Shyama Kunda, we have Vishwanath Chakravarti, the Goswamis, we have the scriptures, we have Tulsi, we have Pasaram, we have Drapa, we have so many incredible things that most people in this world are deprived of. They don't have that. We have it. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.